Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
We'd like to welcome you to another episode of TMT Talk, Baker McKenzie's global TMT industry podcast. In this episode, we will be discussing the tech M&A market and the key risks and challenges that businesses should expect and consider in its current state. My name is Tina Marx. I am a corporate attorney based in Munich and advise clients on cross-border and domestic M&A, PE, and VC, in particular in the tech and interactive entertainment sector. I'm joined today by Hong Zhang and Matt Jacobson. Hong is a partner in our Shanghai office who has abundant experience in corporate affairs, especially in the area of cross-border M&A, including PE and VC and joint ventures. Matt is a partner based in Palo Alto, who specializes in steering complex cross-border and multi-jurisdictional transactions, complex corporate divestitures, and spin-offs. First, I would like to discuss the current state of the tech M&A market with you. In Europe, for example, we have seen a drop of the mega deals. The smaller bread-and-butter tech deals, like add-on acquisitions or acquisitions to add features and functionality to adjacent product lines, however, still continue if the risk profile allows for it. In particular, generally lower valuations but expensive debt caused buyers to show discipline in the M&A activity, in particular in terms of purchase price, target profile, and business risk. Matt, Hong, how would you describe the tech M&A markets in Asia and in the US?
Thanks, Tino. As a general matter, the M&A markets have been difficult in the US as well. I think quarter over quarter is down from the end of last year to Q1 of this year. Slightly on volume, but substantially on value, and year over year is down, I think, over 25% by volume and 45% on value. Tech has not been immune from that. I think tech volume is moving along decently on volume, but following general trends, and year over year, it is down, substantially. I think it's down 40%. In volume and 75% almost in value from last year. So I think that environment has been challenging, though perhaps there are signs of it starting to stabilize. But even in the midst of a difficult broad M&A market, I think it's important to note that tech is still the most active sector in the US in volume, making up over a quarter of all M&A volume. And it's still second to life sciences in deal value. So, it is still a substantial part of the M&A market and really in some ways the driver of the M&A market in the US. And, while it has lagged a little bit, it did make up, three of the largest transactions in the first quarter of the year. So, I think we're in a difficult environment, but tech is still really the engine for the M&A market here. It is worth noting that private equity is also down, and given some of the finance and general market conditions. I think their value has perhaps come down a little less than elsewhere since it made a couple of the big deals. But that is broadly where we are, and it sounds similar to Europe.
In Asia, we have seen quite consistent pattern and trend in terms of the deal volume and valuation have been dropping down. Actually, until 2021, the tech-related M&A or investments were still very active. 21 was the record year for tech-related transactions as well as a growth capital investment. However, from 2022 and forward, we have seen there is a dramatic dropping in terms of the deal volume and also the valuation for the targets. So these actually cause a number of the issues in executing tech M&A nowadays. Number one is that because the tech startups valuation have been downsized, reassessed and downsized quite significantly, and plus the stock market, especially for those listed, let's say SaaS company or those online platform companies, they have their stock price dropping significantly. All these created uncertainties on the target company's valuation because parties were trying to figure out what are the right valuation applicable to those targets if the listed company's stock price have been suppressed. Having said all this, still, we do see quite strong interest in the tech space because this is definitely a quite interesting area, for it captures the future for a number of the sectors. For instance, in the past 12 to 18 months, we have seen the great push and interest from a variety of the investors, not only the financial investor, but also strategic investors, to make their investments into blockchain-related technology and new energy-related supply chain companies, something like a new tech for the batteries or energy storage systems. These have still witnessed quite a strong interest from the investors. As recently as in the past 6 to 9 months, AIGC was definitely one of the hottest topics across the media and also investors' top conversations. We have seen a strong interest into the AIGC target companies, although on the Asia market, most of the deals still focus on the early stage capital growth capital investments, not the mega transactions.
Thank you both, Matt and Hong. That's very insightful. Now, in light of what is going on in the tech M&A markets globally, I'd like to take a closer look at the mechanisms and tools that we see to be or to become more important in order to address the relevant challenges and risks. In Europe, we experience, for example, that purchase prices are more frequently paid in equity, i.e. in shares of the buyer. This is typical, for example, when acquiring tech startups. Also, purchase agreements provide for more complex deal structures and include, for example, MAC clauses or reps and warranties, insurances with knowledge scrapes and synthetic protection. What do you see both? Do you see similar developments in your jurisdictions?
Thanks. You know, in the U.S., we do continue to see rep and warranty insurance grow. And I think having moved away from the frothy markets of yesterday, you know, it's less challenging perhaps to find the capacity to get them involved. And there are actually some new products developing within that space as well. I think a couple other sort of specific trends to note in the U.S., I think, you know, we've had a substantial volume of take private activity, given that the public markets may have adjusted faster than the private markets to some valuation shifts from the frothier days. We also see here a proliferation of cash buyers. So I don't know that we're seeing as much use of equity, given that those markets are also sometimes challenging, but there are a handful of the largest companies that are cash rich and well-suited to do a number of small deals. You know, though they are also very focused on profitability over growth. So I think there's, you know, a balancing act even in that. And that may also tie into, you know, some of the difficult venture capital states. So I think you will start to see some of the more challenged venture-backed companies looking to try to find an exit if financing is going to be too expensive to be a good alternative. And I guess the other trend or specific thing that we would note here is, you know, post-pandemic, we've seen a return of proxy fights and activist activity. And so, you know, I think even if you look at Qualtrics, SAP reorganizing, a substantial part of M&A activity is still driving out of sort of corporate strategic review and finance review in that activist environment.
In light of all these challenges, which indicated the decrease of the volume and valuation of the tech-related deals, we have seen some interesting changes introduced in the deal execution. There are similarities, but also differences against what Tino and Matt just now introduced. For instance, one is the pricing mechanism. We have seen that the earnout mechanism is now more often discussed or more accepted. Or the parties are more receptive to this mechanism to bridge the gap of the valuation. As I mentioned, the tech startups companies or even the listed tech companies, their stock price has been trading low. That creates a big question mark why the valuation should even go beyond those listed entities. However, from target perspective or seller perspective, they may expect a high. So that's why we have seen that there would be a general earnout, that there could be the earnout mechanism being actively explored to bridge the gap so that parties would have time and opportunity to observe the business going forward. The other trend is that unlike the US, Asia has been quite traditionally doing cash-only transactions, has been predominantly the mainstream. However, in light of the cash situations affecting a number of the players on the market, we do see that when some tech companies or also the strategic players, when they do the transactions, they may actively pursue and discuss with the counterparties, they will do the equity transactions. They will consider the merger swap to actually bring together some of the players all together. So these are the quite interesting trends that we have seen on the market, and the people are definitely more flexible in terms of the pricing mechanism, deal execution arrangement than before, given the all the uncertainties surrounding the market.
Thank you. So just to conclude our discussion in today's episode, I want to take a closer look at the legal challenges which could affect tech M&A activities in the future. For example, what I'm seeing in Europe is much higher regulation of new technology that investors have to take into account in their future business planning. That includes, for example, the European AI Intelligence Act, which is currently under intense discussions, and also the European AI Liability Directive on the horizon. As regards blockchain technology, we see MiCA regulation and DAC 8. Additionally, foreign direct investment regulations that seek to protect the national security can delay transactions and decrease deal certainty due to approval requirements by the authorities. For example, in Germany, acquisitions of targets whose business is cloud computing, AI, or automated driving may need to be notified with the German FDI authority before a deal can even be closed. On the EU level, the European FDI screening regulation lists critical technologies and dual-use items such as AI, robotics, and semiconductors, and so forth, as sectors that may trigger an FDI review. Lastly, merger control approval requirements, in my view, will play a particular role in light of the convergence of products and services of large tech companies that are active in various markets that now start to emerge. For example, the new EU Digital Markets Act imposes an obligation on so-called gatekeepers to inform the European Commission of intended acquisitions, even those are below national merger control thresholds. Hongmet, are there specific legal challenges that you feel businesses in your jurisdiction should pay attention to?
I think globally, and so in the US as well, national security continues to be challenging and even expanding its challenges. So CFIUS in the US is significant in deals. And I think, as you noted, the breadth of technology and the development such as AI will probably not reduce that. I think that ties into and couples with some of the specific semiconductor regulation and you know, some China tensions more broadly. So I do think that that is something that continues to be a challenge here, although in a certain way, I think China decoupling is in some pockets a driver of M&A volume as companies move away from China dependency or try to free themselves from some of the restrictions that the regulations subject them to. And you know, I guess the other big trend for M&A on this side is that the FTC chair Lina Khan is very aggressive in her views with respect to antitrust enforcement and has you know, both verbally called out the tech sector and also produced some challenges. So on that front, antitrust is probably a more sensitive issue to look at in deals than it has been for some time. I think the willingness and history of challenging tech deals, I think, is something that will continue to be important in the background as we see buyers return to the table.
I would say for the Asian market, we do see there are three rising challenges, which some of them are new, some of them are not new at all, and they have been constantly affecting the M&A transactions. So first, the one is that there has been stronger than ever pressure from the government on the data localization. The cross-border data control and privacy security has been top priority for a number of jurisdictions, countries in Asia, especially China. The Chinese government has introduced a number of the new laws and policies in the past 2 to 3 years and emphasizing on the cybersecurity, privacy protection. This all creates or imposes stringent restrictions on the cross-border data flow. And this actually does not only affect the tech company's daily operation model. All the tech players are affected heavily. They need to revisit and reconsider if how they do the business today can continue going forward. it also affects how the investors perceive and apply the right valuation, a right assessment about the target. Are they compliant, or will there be a very big compliance correction cost down the road in light of the new laws introduced by the relevant countries? The data localization requirements that have been creating a lot of the additional compliance burden costs and operational complexities to the tech companies cast more doubts or cast more create more challenges for the tech M&A. The second key challenge that we have seen is that there has been a tougher than ever regulatory supervision over the use of the AI, use of the data, and or blockchain related or based applications. After the ChatGPT, there were a lot of excitement about the use of the AI in a variety of the areas. However, each country, like the EU, Chinese government also rolled out a policy very quickly. It imposes in quite a number of the restrictions and also requirements on the use of AIGC programs in China. Similar legislative discussions have been taking place across the region. So how to adapt and comply with those new regulatory requirements will be the continued challenges for the portfolio companies and also the M&A acquisition execution. The last thing challenge that we have seen is absolutely the same as what Tino and Matt observed, that is the foreign investment control. This has been the bigger challenge or more critical challenge than the before in light of the geopolitical concerns and the worldwide situations. China-US decoupling has been ongoing for a few years, but nowadays we are also talking about de-risking China. So in that sense, for any cross-border M&A transactions, given the potential foreign investors' participation in those data-heavy subjects, or there will be a cross-border data flow. The first issue that we will need to discuss with the clients and think about it is whether or not the cross-border data flow of the target would create any problem or give rise to the concerns to the regulator in order for them to give us the clearance. On a related note to this topic about China very specifically, is that the reverse CFIUS regulation that the US government is about to has been considering for quite some time will be the major legal challenge down the road, especially for the cross-border inbound tech M&As from the US investors. However, we will wait and see how it rolls out and how this will affect the ongoing investment activities.
So thanks very much to Hom and Matt for joining me today. We hope our listeners found today's episode interesting. Please tune in for another episode in the coming weeks.